Hello.
Hello,
Oh, you can do it. You can do it.
welcome.
You can do
We'll both do the
You work.
intro.
I don't know. You see not how to. You work away, kid.
I seen you. Yeah, back the fuck off, Mikey. This is my star. This is my moment of fucking glory. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. Me and Mickey were just chatting there, and I had told him to hit the button because to start recording because we were just chatting back and forth. And Joni's just understanding me. I'm not really like we were talking about nights out, right? And like. Just in general, just chat. But he was saying he's going for a couple of drinks the weekend, and he goes to me, but like, do you know what? After a while, like, I'm not really a club person. Now, this is coming from a DJ, right? Fair enough. People don't like to go where they work, but I just found it not ironic. Why are you not a club person? I'm not a club. I mean, I'm not a person that stays up past 9 p.m. anymore. But yeah, fill me in on why. Fill me in the audience in on why DJs are shit.
It's you know what it is? It's well, it is the kind of one where you're in so many clubs and all, but you like, well, I don't do it as much, but you would find yourself kind of going, oh, I want to play that, I want to done this, I want to done that. Now, I don't really do that because
Or
I
do you
don't,
critique the DJ?
well, I don't because I don't really care. You know, I don't everybody to their own, be it a wedding DJ to a party DJ to a club DJ to, you know. To the you know, if someone played up like a song, like you see people getting rinsed there on TikTok, like some of the biggest DJs in the world for playing certain music. Who gives a fuck? Music's music. If somebody enjoys it, somebody enjoys it. But I would find myself just in clubs, like I don't know. It just I hate the whole like I've had a table is different because you can sit down, but see like standing, like the whole point of nightclubs is have as little tables and chairs as possible because people stand up, drink more, people stand up, dance. Creates a better atmosphere. Not really for
Even
me.
true.
And the other thing is too, if you're in a club, especially a club that's kind of like in an area you might DJ in, you're always bumping into people. And people's always, you know, if you're out with your friends, you find yourself having less and less time for your friends. And more, like you would
Yeah,
get a
I
lot now, I
completely
would say if you went out for a night out now in Belfast, especially at the moment, we'll get on to the milestone. I would say you'll find if you're out with your friends, say if you went to the National this Saturday night, you would have less and less time with the people you want to have time with because you'd be chatting with other people. And there's not no and there's nothing wrong. I love people coming up and chatting and all. But it's hard if you're like, say if you go out with like one other person, say you go out with your best mate, it's hard for your best mate because then they're kind of standing there going, fuck, there's no point me really being here.
See, me and Daniel earlier were in the gym, for example, and this happened. Like a man came up to me and he goes, like he pretty much goes, "No way, I love your videos." And immediately I like jumped out of the chair and was having to crack him. But I think it's very important that if that ever happens, like I immediately then involve Daniel. Now, fair enough, Daniel's
Yeah.
big following, but I involve the person. They don't just stand there and be like, "Have you met my friend?" It's like, for example, if I'm standing there and I have a girlfriend, I will introduce her. If you don't introduce, then there's no introduction, Joe, or I'll engage, and I actually almost shift the conversation away from me. It's like a skill because otherwise it ends up that where the person's just standing there. But yeah, no, I agree with the nightclub thing as well. I think it's one of these things where I don't know about you, like I really enjoy like a good I enjoy good tunes. I love a fucking dance because I usually go out with a couple of drinks. I'm never pissed anymore. I just struggle to last the entire time period. Like, I don't know how you can dance for more than an hour unless you're absolutely blitzed, because I'd be fucking, I only a little trotters, I'm fucking knackered. And it butchers me. So, and I don't like, I'm not complaining. I just don't love the way in a nightclub, I struggle to like, eat. You know that where you try and talk to somebody and they're like, "What? What?" And then you lose your voice and all.
I
I'm more of a
will,
pub
yeah.
person. I'm more of a pub person.
Yeah, well, I love both, like, to be honest. I'm a devil for night out, like, but
Where would you go if you're going for a night out? I'm very
well,
curious about this.
Belfast, if say Belfast, I'll start off in the local and Bangor before the train. We pre Guinness, best Guinness in Ireland, hashtag. And then I'll go in the city. And then we'd probably, firstly, Goat would be one of the big spots we'd go to. Maybe Margot if it's some cocktails. They do a nice margarita. And
Ooh.
then would probably, it depends if it's a date or it's a night out. Normally, if probably end up in Ollie's or something, if it's going to
If
be a
it's a
big.
date, if it's a date, give me the
If it's a
lowdown here.
date, if it's date, you just hit a couple of cocktail spots and then you just wrap it up early. You don't keep
Oh, back
dates.
to
You
Hirsch
don't.
for a good
No,
sledge.
no, 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 no. You don't keep dates out past 11, 12. You know, you knock it in the head early and you go your separate ways and then see if there's a jail after that. But no, date wise, I'm probably going to give away the secrets here. Muriel's would be a date spot of mine.
I've heard that
from me. Somebody talk about me in there. No. There is actually this is a funny question.
If people would want to feedback to the podcast page about this, I think what we should do, and I was watching the Huberman podcast earlier, I think we should try and have themes.
Well, like, can I tell you a story about Muriel's
for the month? I know that would probably overkill, but I think even just having people put in, like, I would love for you to do a complete podcast on this or that, rather than it be fully random, we could have it almost where you would know, like, a month is dedicated to this or that. It's something just for food for thought. But never mind, back to the date thing. So Muriel's, see, for me, it's one of the things where I'm still yet to branch right into that, so I'm going to be very interested. But if I was to go home and have a date in Nuri, for example, I don't know where I would go. Number one, I also think there would be, as you said about the mice, I think there would be a little bit of pressure because, like, but there's pressure with anybody. If you date local, like, everybody knows each other and word just gets spread so fast. So I don't know. Firstly, I'd need to figure that out. But
it's been the last thing on my mind.
Where else would you go in Belfast?
If I've food wise, it would always be somewhere like Tapas. So the place Q Mexican Tapas, the taqueria is nice. Mexican Tapas or Two Taps would be pretty good.
That can never be anywhere too serious, especially early days. Then, like, see, I love a good feed. I'm a hungry cuntler.
Depends, like, if it's a daytime date, which is a lot to be said about a wee daytime date, you might go somewhere like Kelly Cellar and Madden's for a bit of trad music, very laid back.
Yeah, and Christmas markets are coming on now, that's a key.
No. You see, Christmas markets, other than Belfast, Belfast just let too many people into the actual market.
Belfast is shite. I'm not talking about Belfast. I'm talking about, like, for example, like, well, see, anytime I've been to Christmas markets, have not been Belfast. They've been like Edinburgh. Budapest. I know obviously you're not going to do that on a date, but
Copenhagen.
Like,
Copenhagen.
They've always been good because they've not been Belfast.
The Belfast one, they fucking just let. I would say if the council were doing their job right.
I'm a bit of a gimmick person. Like, I enjoy you doing the way you roast marshmallows and all them sort of things. Like, I'm such a gimmicky person.
Like,
I'm
American
that sort of
TV show. Like,
enjoys that sort of stupid shit.
Well, I'm not going to be doing that.
See, I enjoy that. That's all part of the festivities. I'm real good. Like, if there's something like that going on at Halloween, like, do haunted houses and all Halloween, like, I'm all over that. That's a vibe. Like, that's what I'm about. Like, it, getting involved, it's key.
I don't know where else. The last few dates I've been on have been alcohol orientated, to be honest.
That's standard enough, though. By the way, what questions did we get before we go into dating too much?
We didn't really get any. We got more comments about the last podcast, to be honest.
Oh, speaking of that, my mum and auntie were obviously asking about you, but they said that is the... Well, I don't know if this is a good thing. They actually said they cried. I didn't think it sounded overly sad, but obviously it is. It's a very sad situation, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's one of the ones where she was like, it was actually very emotional. And I was like, that's actually quite sounding. It's one of the ones where when you talk about it, because it was so raw, I think it was how raw it was. I definitely don't think people were expecting it.
No, definitely people, I don't think, were expecting it. And the amount of messages,
I think we've got about
30 or 40 messages at the moment. And a lot of people's kind of saying the same. A lot of people, like, went through the same sort of thing in the last few years. But yeah. Yeah, the feedback's kind of been really good, and, you know, people are very thankful that between the both of us was very open, because it wasn't an easy podcast for you either, because it's hard for you to know what to say.
You could hear me buttoning in a bit, so I was like, fuck, I sound like a rude cunt. I was nervous because I was I know it's you, but I was like, oh, people think I'm a bald.
A few people were saying it is just typical of the podcast to be two people having an open and raw and honest conversation, but the outpouring's been really good. A lot of names we haven't seen before, you know, this Ritus, and then a lot of PTs that I wouldn't have known, they must be of your following, reaching out, but it's been really nice. It's been nice, you know, seeing the messages coming through and just talking to a few of them and different stuff, and it just shows you that even though, like, because we always say this, like, it's me and you talking, and for all we know, nobody will listen to this podcast, but it's nice to know when you actually, people are listening, and it is helping people, and, like, even some of the things we're talking about, like, perspective about, you know, today's today's guaranteed, tomorrow's not. Like a few people was writing, you know, that kind of really hit home that maybe, you know, a couple of boys were saying, like, I don't go home every weekend from Belfast. Sometimes I would just take it for granted. Like, I'll go down in a few weeks and they'll stay up and go out with the boys at the weekend. But then they're like, fuck, you know what? I'll go down, even if I go down for like Friday night and half a Saturday, then come back up again. Just to go down and see the parents, say hello, or call in with the grandparents, because, you know. And a few people were saying stuff like that really hit home, but it was nice. You know, the feedback was nice, and, you know, and people are listening, and the listens are good, and it's just, yeah, it's just nice. It's nice to see. And it's nice that it's helped people, hopefully. But yeah, it's a strange one. Like, I don't think a lot of people were saying too, that it was like very, it was. What was the word? It was like a very mature conversation without the cliches. You know, because sometimes you can fall into the whole cliche thing where you're talking about loss, and you can turn it into something that it's not. But like, people are saying, it was just like two people talking openly about grieving and loss, rather than
regurgitating. It's as you said. It's without interrupting. Before, because I'll forget this one thing. It's because we didn't have a baldy, so what way to approach it?
Well, that's it too. There is. I don't think there is a way to plan approaching it. If you're going to plan approaching it, it would come out the wrong way, and it wouldn't be authentic, because it is so emotional and raw and real. There's no way you couldn't set up that conversation, because it would just feel wrong and wouldn't be right at all. But yeah, it was. So pretty much, yeah, just looking at the questions here, I'm just going to check again, pretty much all the questions are just people like saying, no replying, going, love the last podcast. But we have one question I thought was really good, and it was, there's 5 weeks left of the year. Have you any tips to maximize getting the most of these next 5 weeks that could set up for the next 12 months? I think that's a really good question.
I love that question.
Because people know. And I was chatting, I have to tell you, Tony, I'm now a High Rocks athlete.
Oh, fuck off.
I did one session. I'm fucking sore. Very sore.
Oh, mate, that's not a vibe.
I want someone to kick my ass to get me back, and get me back into, you know, it just needs something totally different. And there's a very good, because I'm back living in Oma now for a while, there's a very good gym in Oma, a very good trainer who I have a lot of time for, a lot of respect for, and I just text him and says, right lad, I need your help now for the next 5-6 weeks. I just need to do something that's totally not the norm, and that's gonna, you know, force me to readapt, because I can go into the gym and I can, you know, do my normal hypertrophy style training and, you know, whatever, but I need something that's going to be different and make me think. So yeah, started with him back today again, but yeah, 5 weeks to the end of the year, which is crazy if you think about it.
For me, I think it's the first thing I love is the fact that you're not waiting for that. See, to become that person that you want to be, you have to ask yourself, what routines, behaviors, standards, habits do they have? And would that person wait till New Year's, or would they kick in now? And it's like, you're not going to wake up one Monday and all of a sudden have the motivation. You're not going to wake up and be able to change your life on a given day. It comes down to from ingraining them habits, routines over time. And if you wait to January, you just set yourself up for failure. I think January's, I know people will be like, people will say it's unrealistic to say start now and all this. You don't need the reason I always say start now is not because I'm that dickhead that's like, oh, just get moved. It's because you're never going to be perfect, so you may as well not be perfect from the start, and then it actually takes the expectation off you.
Yeah.
Like, because this idea of waiting and then being like, oh, well, it's not really a good time to start. We'll start then. And you'll see every lackadaisy coach go, let's be realistic. It doesn't make sense to start that in December. Yes, of course it doesn't. But it does make sense to get good at, like, doing steps, doing your cardio, doing a bit of weight training, whatever it is, or just starting off now with whatever you're going to do, even if it's learning the language, you'll be 6 weeks ahead. And it's one of the things where that discipline, that mindset's what's going to separate you anyway. And I think getting the most out of your 6 weeks, I highlight this a lot in the podcast at the end of the year last year. I love New Year's, not because the resolutions, but because of the reflection.
Yeah.
Look at the last 10 months and go to yourself, what has went really fucking well for me? What has went really fucking shit for me? And what can I improve on and what needs done to actually make these improvements? And whenever you think about it, right, well, say, for example, you didn't get enough downtime, you didn't get enough family time. Right, well, don't go, oh, well, that's it. Put in just three steps. So number one, I'm going to use Opal, which is an app limiter, every time I sit down with my family at night. That's going in now. You could do what we do every Sunday. We go for a walk somewhere, me and my family, or we go out for coffee as a group. No phones. We use phones to talk about in the story, but we don't use them as like at the table. So that's one. That's number two. And then number three could be something as simple as like once a week, I'll plan an extra activity with my family. So like I go for a dip with my sister, my dad, I'll take them all out for separate coffee, Joe, or I'll purposely plan it. So for me, it's like, right, well, what can I improve to milk more of this and what can I do to go forward? So it's really, really key on that front for you to pre-plan that so you've got action steps, because it's all well and good knowing where you fucked up or how you're going to get more out of the year going forward. But the problem is it's lack of implementation, it's lack of action.
Yeah.
You're better thinking, right, well, one step and getting that implemented, because like, what will change your life, move the needle the most? And so even if you download app limits and put it on while you're in the gym, and then put it on while you're eating dinner with your family, that alone will change your life. But the problem is most people don't focus on the small 1% things that make the biggest difference to the quality of your life. Like me and Daniel here, a really good example is like we agreed no social media for 90 minutes, no phone usage, like social media usage for 90 minutes after waking, no caffeine. And see the difference that has with the quality of life is unbelievable. And most people be like, well, it's not a big of a deal, but it's the routines, the standards, the behaviors you set that really dictate you. So I don't know where I went a bit of a tangent there, but I feel like that's absolutely vital.
No, it is. I used to have a thing. There could be people listening to this podcast that know me from years ago. I would never answer my phone to anybody before 10 a.m. You would not get me before 10 a.m. any day. Just phone was on, do not disturb until 10 a.m. That was it. That was always my thing. And just over the years, I just got away with that. And just when you were saying that, I started thinking about it, going, why do I not implement that again? But then I realized that I probably only get up most mornings at 10 a.m. now. But that is, it's very true that like you have 5 weeks of the year and people start, well, there's no point starting a diet in December because it's going to be full of drink, full of, you know, food, overeating, whatever, fun, nights out. And that, you know what? Class. You know, everybody needs to live, everybody needs to do it. But if you think about it this way, if that's already off the rails, like myself, like my, put it like this here, I have fucked about this last few months. I've, you know, been out too much probably, probably marginally went out too much, and overeating slightly, training a lot less than I should, and making excuses. All my plan is for the next 5 weeks is to be 50% better than the last 5 weeks. And I mean, like, I'm in my head thinking now, right, I'm definitely going to be drinking and out with the boys 4 or 5 times now to Christmas. And then there'll be 1 or 2 gigs where we'll drink at, we'll have a few drinks that we'll be social at. So I know they're coming up. I know between there's going to be times where food's not going to be great. But if I can do more training sessions than I did in the last, say, 5 weeks, I'm already better off. And if I can eat marginally better, I'm already better off. If I control the controllables, I'm already better off. But I'm not going into it thinking, fuck, I'm going from being someone who's non-compliant in most things in life to someone who's a complete monk. No, I never do that in January. I won't do that now, but I'll just be a wee bit better. So in the next 5 weeks, I'll start by just cutting out some of the stupid shit. You know, the extra wee stops at the shop, you know, the wee snacks for the drives, just cut out that stuff. I've already cut down on caffeine a wee bit, but that's probably just because like Omaha hasn't got as many good coffee shops as Belfast. But yeah, I think when anybody, like, January is this thing, and Mondays in January is the same thing. I'll start on Monday. Like, well, who the fuck starts anything on a Monday? Like, to be honest, I'll start Monday. The only reason people go, I'll start Monday, is because school starts on a Monday. Oh, I'll start my diet on Monday. I'll start training on Monday. Now is the time to start anything. It's like if you're an addict and you're addicted to, say, coke, or you're addicted to heroin, you don't go, fuck, you know what, I'm going to clean my act up on Monday. the time you decide you clean your act up is when you have to clean your act up, and then the reality has hit home that you need to clean your act up. So if you're thinking now, fuck, I need to get my ass in gear, now from this moment onwards, this second, 11:56 on a Wednesday, is the time to clean your act up. It's the same like philosophy, and people go, say if you start your day off with shit food, and then you go, fuck, well, today's ruined, I'll just continue to eat shit food. That's another thing that's just, you know, just don't do that. Like, that's something that's, like, it's not good. It's not a good mindset to have, where you can just start with the wee small things and just keep it going. And that's probably one of my first tip would be for the next 5 weeks, is just be a percentage better than you have been in the last 5 weeks. Be it 50, be it 40, be it 20, be it 80, be it 90. I don't know. Fuck, it depends how hardcore you want to get. Just be a wee bit better than the last 5 weeks, and then that will set you up for the new year, when everyone, it's easier to be better in the new year because everybody's been better, so there's less temptation. Like, you're not getting 100.
Yeah, nobody wants to go out and get pissed and eat a load of takeaways in January.
Yeah, nobody's ringing you in January to go, fuck here, lad. Like, I've been invited to staff dues this Christmas, and I'm not even a member of their staff. But because I'm friends with so many people in the company, and then I'm like, geez, you know what? I may go on that staff too. But nobody's ringing you in January going, here, me and the fucking lads from work are coming out, or going out, because nobody's going out. So it's easier to really get a kickstart in the new year in January. And as we always say, if you do like 30 days of good habits, the chances of them staying on are pretty good. Like, pretty good, unless you go like complete monk mode, and then there's no chance it's sustainable. But that would be my like one tip from a health side. I'm going to probably break it up from a health point of view. I would say, yeah, just be marginally better. What would you say if you had the next 5 weeks to kind of look at your, say, your relationships with other people? You know, because people coming up to Christmas, it's like, Christmas is a tough time for people if they're single, and it's a tough time for people if they've like, you know, they've got like people that are like, they need to be buying loads of presents for and stuff. What would you say? Would you have any tips or like people in that sort of, you know, to sort of work on them areas in the run up to say the next 5 weeks?
For me, in terms of like what the run up is going forward, is just, as you said, marginal gains is really, really important. I think like the 1% in any area, but I just feel like it's reflecting on, most people actually, I don't think, realize how the quality of their life could be improved. They're too busy caught day to day running from one thing to another. It's like whenever you're running a business, you're too busy in the business to work on it. Whenever you're too busy in your life, it's hard to reflect and take a break. So I don't even think it needs to be like you have to use the most of it, but a real clear reflection on what needs to improve for going forward, and really letting I know it sounds terrible, the pain of that seep in. Like, what is this year not been great for? And realize that like that's a year gone. Like, think about it. Think about how much percentage of your life that is. People go, well, it's only 1 year and I might live to 80. Right, first 15 years of your life, you're a pure useless because you're in school, right? And you're learning your fucking difference between your dick and your hand. Then you've got probably, realistically, you've got about, I'm not saying anybody older than this, but you've realistically got 50 good years. After 65, you know, you're winding down, you're ready for the pit. Like, so, and I'm not my mom and dad, I'm not all be listening to this going, what the fuck? But realistically, Joe, you do slow down. So 20 things, like, that's 150th gone.
Yeah.
Like, that starts to get scary. If you fuck up another year, that's 125th. You fuck up another year, that's 112th. Fuck up another year, that's a sixth of your life. So the thing is, it's also, you don't need to know where you're going over the next 5 weeks. You also need to have a rough, you don't need, I think this is underestimated. Like, I used to love the fact that I'd be like, I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. But I also do think you need to know a rough direction. You don't need to know where you're going, but you need to know, what do you not want? And see, once you know what you don't want, then you're all right. That's half the battle. But I feel like a lot of people are just winging it day to day and then going, you know, all right, well, I'm 30 now, right? Well, I'm gonna have kids. I'm gonna get married. I'm gonna do this, or you know, I'm not. It's really like an impulse decision. A lot of decisions can then be made off emotion, and I feel like when you make decisions off emotion, it always doesn't serve in the long run. Whereas you're like, right, well, am I living life by my values, and was this year lived by my values, or was it lived by self-validation through others? Was it lived by my boss, working me in the ground? What do I want the theme of from here on in the next year to be, and what habits, routines, rituals do I need to put in place now, whether it's the album, it's whether it's saying no, what do I need to start practicing now and get good at, because it's going to take time, and then you'll also have the kick boost in January. So if you can do it now, you can move forward. I know that's not a straightforward answer with the Christmas and all, but I do feel like, obviously, being smart and having like standards for yourself is key on that front as well. But what would be your take on it? I'd be interested to hear that.
When it was
1% stuff, do you? And then we'll.
I
don't want to melt people, but it's hard to believe it's the end of the year in the first place.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's the end of the year. I would be like, I'm kind of at the point now where if it's work or it's effort, I'm not really in it. You know, I'm big in the whole has to feel right, has to be right, has to go with the flow. I'm not going to force things. I'm never going to force things to be better in a relationship anymore. I know, like, we talk about working on relationships need work, but I don't think they shouldn't need work in the early days. And I'm just, like, I've kind of said to myself going forward, like, I'm just going to be real, and I'm not going to, like, try to, like, put square pegs into circle holes, is the saying. So for me, for the next 5 weeks, I'm just going to, like, I'm going to continue as I did in that respect, and if it meets people, I meet people. If it don't, I don't. But, you know, I think if people are in relationships and in areas and of their life that needs addressing, you know, there is a thing to be said about, you know, suppose is it life admin or whatever it would be called, you know, reflection. People reflect on New Year's, but there's time enough to reflect now, and as you said, like, how's the last 10 months went, how's the last 10 years went. You know, people, I think more than ever, you need to be real to yourself. You be real to where you're at in life, be it relationship, be it job, be it everything. Just, you know, be it. I think it's something I've worked on this year a lot, is I don't really do stuff anymore that I don't want to do. I don't do events and gigs that I don't want to do. I'm very strict on that. And it's something.
Why is that?
It just comes down to, you know what, even though, like, it literally went through it yesterday with the lads, like, we got a serious, like, a stupid offer to do an event, and we kind of looked at it and went, I'm not really fucking feeling that event. But it's good money, and it's easy money. But I was kind of like, you know, when we go and do it, we're not going to enjoy this. We're just going to be going, right, lads, just next 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, whatever, just get through it, grin and bear it, and head for the hills. And the boys were kind of in the same boat as me. He goes, you know what, fuck it, nah. Just nah, we just won't bother. I think it comes down to, Sooner.
Me and Dan's joined me in the middle. Say hello.
Well,
what's
done.
Up, Biggie?
What's good the crack, you, brother? How you getting on?
Have you met each other?
No, we actually haven't, bro. No, we haven't.
I seen him a few good times on the Lisburn Road going into Output.
Oh, what? You see me?
Aye, because my mate owns Output, so I've been at her a fair bit and always seen you going in to get coffees and stuff.
I was probably in with a wife. Doing a bit of romancing, mate. You know, Romeo and Juliet, the 21st century here.
That's your new missus beside you now.
That's us laying down the pit here.
Matching glasses.
That's what Instagram comments say anyway, like.
I seen that, actually.
Thank fuck he's got a girlfriend. Otherwise, people be like, what the fuck's going on here? Do you know what? He was listening the last couple minutes. I actually think that the question we got, and I think it was good, was how do you make the most out of the next 5 weeks of the year? Or, Joe, we were talking about the 1% stuff, but then we'll let Mr. Dorgan weigh in and see if he got any gold here. Look, he's screwing in the back of his mind. He's like, fuck, I need to pinpoint. So we went 1%.
Yeah, I think you just need to get very clear on the person that you want to become this time next year, because without clarity, there's no conviction. And when you do get clear on who that person is that you want to become, you're faced with decisions and choices every single day. Like, that's what our life's made up of choices. And anytime you're faced with a choice, just ask yourself, well, what would that version of me in 12 months time do? And see if you do that enough over the next 5 weeks. Like, you don't need to be perfect, but if you make more choices in line with that person than not, I guarantee he'll be in a much better position come January 21st or come January 1st. So that's what I would say. Get clear on who you want to become, and see if you start acting like them now, even just a little, you'll be in a much better position. You'll thank yourself for it.
Yeah, I think that's bang on. For anybody that obviously can't see us, me and Dorgan are sharing a mic. It's like, you know, like a bad karaoke where people are like passing the mic back and forth, and they're both almost singing into the ones. Do you know what I really resonated from that was the acting like the person you want to become there. I feel like that's key. And I feel like that's one of the things that you don't do enough of, but it makes a big difference. It's like I always say to people, like, if you want abs, you train hard, you diet hard, and you eventually get them because you act like somebody who has the abs. If you want confidence, not that you can bluff your way to it, but you have to make decisions like that. And a quote from the Jimmy Carr podcast with Stephen Barter that really hits home is, you're not the person your friends think you are. You're not the person that others see you as. You're the person that you are when you're by yourself. See if you are the person that throws a tin of fucking Coke out your window of the car when nobody's looking on a country road. That's who you really are. You're a ball bag. So then the thing is, dark is off here. But that's who you are. And deep down, you know that. And then you're not a person, a character that you respect. And when you don't respect yourself, how do you uphold yourself to that higher standard? Whereas, for example, like a lot of the time now, me and like Daniel are really pushing hard. Now we're getting up early at 4:30. We're doing press ups. Then we're going for fucking dips. We're working all day content. And I can openly turn around and be like, fuck, do you know what? Maybe I'm not pushing hard enough. And then you look at the stack of proof and you're like, I'm a hard working fucker. So then the standard stands by you because you're acting like that person. So over time, you actually go, when people turn around and they go, fuck, you just don't stop working. You're like, no. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I actually don't. And it's because you built that. But I like that, like the idea of acting like the person you want to become over time. And whenever you align your values and you spend time on that, like, no point you saying, oh, I'm really going to change my life, and then you repeat what you've been doing. That is so fucking stupid. That makes no sense. And then people get frustrated. That, of course, you're going to be frustrated because you're lying to yourself.
The one decision that changed it for me was not hitting snooze. That was the one thing. Like, I used to see myself as a lazy individual. And again, Stephen Bartlett talks about that you can't choose your beliefs, but you can change your beliefs with enough evidence to counteract that. And for me, I used to get told that I was lazy, and I definitely believed that I was lazy. And it started with the alarm in the morning. I would hit snooze every single day and then be disappointed in myself for that. And I feel like even when I started coaching, I'm sure you could agree that maybe a lot of people would be in the same position. And like, I'd ask myself, who do I want to become? And I just started by putting my phone to the other side of the room. So when that alarm went off, you best believe I got up. I got off my ass. I put the alarm off, and I'd already done the hardest bit. And like, that was the first wee victory in the day. And it sounds minor, but those things add up over time. And that's the first thing. Okay, right. That's decision one. What's the next one? Can I make my breakfast more often? These are small things, but it's, if you can master the mundane, the thing that you do every single day, you're going to be leagues ahead of where you were. So yeah, I don't feel like you need to reinvent the wheel. Like, start with the small decisions that you make every day and just try and make them slightly better, as you say.
Snooze is the main one. It has to be, doesn't it, Mickey? Like, snooze, it has to be. Snooze is massive. Like, I used to be so guilty of that. And I think when you hit snooze, you literally, this is not me being cheeky, like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for having a lie on a Sunday if you want that. I don't do that. But when you hit snooze, you may as well hit a button and say, I'm a fucking loser.
Snooze, put your phone away at night as well. But
you set the alarm, and you've woke up and you're going, I'd rather go back for 30, 40 minutes sleep than get up. You'd rather go back to dreamland than actually be in reality. And that speaks volumes about the reality you're having instead of actually getting a mortgage. You'd definitely agree. Like, fuck, Mickey, fired up here, ready for fucking attack.
Like, it's the same. It's
so late in the day.
We talked about it, the NASA thing. You know, your countdown. Yeah. Once you wake up, your countdown to get your feet on the ground, it's like launching a fucking a spaceship.
Mel Robbins.
But the other thing is to putting your phone away at night and actually sleeping rather than going to bed at 10 and lying on scrolling to 1. And I'm guilty as fuck at TikTok. The TikTok algorithm at the minute's send me heat. So I fucking end up sitting on it for a while. But I know when I'm on, I'm like, what are you doing here? But It's a habit that I'm going to start implementing again. Is actually, as Daniel said, get your phone the other side of the room. Get it away that when the alarm does go off.
One habit, yeah.
Do you know what helped me, Mickey, was because again, in today's day and age, sometimes I say to people, like, try and stay off your phone for 60 minutes before bed. And someone said to me, one of my clients, they're like, what do I do? And I was like, fuck, do you know what I mean? But one thing that I actually done, which changed the game, I was always having an issue with overthinking with a business and relationships at the time. It was a couple of years ago. And what I done was I would go to bed with my AirPods in, but before I went to bed, I would put my phone on the other side of the room. I'd set my alarm. I'd pick a podcast that I like. I'd set the sleep timer on Spotify for 30 minutes. Yeah. And I would go to bed and sit and listen to the podcast at a low level and see when I shifted the focus of trying to sleep on the listening to the podcast and enjoying the podcast, I started looking forward to going to bed. And then second, I was focusing so much on the podcast and enjoying it that it was out like a light. And I've done that every day for probably 2 years. And again, some people may disagree with that it's not good to have input, but like, I get so excited going to bed because I'm like, what podcast are we going to be listening to? And it means I'm sitting there for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, no screen light, and I'm out like a light. I love it. But that's just one thing to help me.
Sort of like that. I don't know if I said this before in the podcast. Mickey, you'll know this too. I used to, this similar but not, I used to never watch, whenever Michael Jordan's Last Dance came out, I only watched it when I'd done cardio. So I was dieting, wasn't allowed to watch it, and I would be like, I really can't be arsed doing cardio, but I'd be like, fuck, I'd be damned. And there was weeks where Joe was like, I only told you to do 60 minutes cardio. Why is 90 done? I'd be like, I fucking need to see The Last Dance. Like, and he was laughing. He was like, what the fuck? But I think that reward metric and even just that like idea where you treat a task you don't enjoy, like going to bed early with something that's a highlight of your day. Like, it's habit stacking, as you said, without realizing it. Because I think James Clear, that habit stacking formula, that's it's almost washed under the carpet. It's like almost brushed under the carpet now. I don't know who washed
it. What is habit stacking? Actually, I'm not. What is habit stacking?
Habit stacking is where you stack one habit on top of the other. So, for example, like really easy one is you get used to packing your gym bag the night before so that you're not. You bring your gym bag then to work and then you don't come home. You place habits in check that help you win. So like you really struggle to get time to go to the gym. So having your bag packed the night before, having a lunch ready or having something ready that is a clear cut habit, or you also stack something really positive on top of a negative habit. So for example, say you really, really good example is how many people will relate to this. You don't want to do something and then you say, well, if I do that, I'll eat this after. Joe, you give yourself a positive emotion or a positive response after, and it's a really good way to reward yourself and then build that positive feedback loop. It's the exact reason why like gold stars in school are like, oh, you do something, you get a gold star. You want to do more of that because it gives you an endorphin. So you replace you almost give yourself an endorphin for doing the habit. So it's that reward metric that's really, really key with actually sort of ingraining that thought process in your body. Because like if you told me, every time you do 50 press ups, I'll give you a scoop of ice cream. Like I'd be doing more press ups. Now it'll probably be counterintuitive.
I knew ice cream was going to come into this.
Things where that sort of thought process adds up, and habit stacking is just really stacking anything way you want. It's really, really important, and you'll notice that because you're either doing it purposely or you're doing it by accident. So a really good example is my mum would have always had a cigarette with a cup of coffee. If she had a cup of coffee, she'd have a cigarette. If she was having a cigarette, she'd have a cup of coffee. She didn't realize it, but it was a habit she built by accident. If you don't actually monitor the habits you have, you'll notice you just start snacking. You start picking things up. You start eating. You start replying to text sharpie. You start snapping at people. If you don't monitor what you're doing and you'd be like, why am I doing this? It's just because it's become subconscious. Now, you're still choosing to do that. You can go, well, I'm emotionally eating them all this. You still are choosing to do that. Now it's subconscious, but you have a choice of where you continue that thought process. And yes, habits are hard to break. They're like addiction, but they can be broken down over time with routines and replacing them. Usually what you'll notice is it's hard to remove a habit or remove an addiction, but it's a lot easier to swap it. And swapping it out for something can be a really good way. And that habit stacking process can then make that easier because you're giving yourself a different reward, or you're making that process of like packing a gym bag so it's ready in the morning so you're not stressed, putting you're always getting in the habit that your phone, your charger's across the room. It's never out of that plug. That's the only plug in your room and that's where it goes. And then that habit leads you to leaving your phone on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
Joe, simple things like that is like one minute habit that doesn't really make a big difference actually leads to the biggest change in your life, because then you're sleeping better, you're better quality life, and all of a sudden you're not a dick to everybody in your house because you're sleeping properly because of that. And that, like, do you know what I mean? You're able to stick. A really good example is there's science to back. If you sleep more effectively, not only do you burn more fat, you're leaner, and you're going to live longer, but you also make better decisions. And what is life? Life is literally decisions. So you, by improving your sleep that 1%, could improve your quality of life in every aspect by 10%. And that's where people are getting caught out. And that's what you want to focus on for the last five weeks of the year is analyzing that. That is absolute fire. Dargan was a great ad there for the last. We should have him in earlier, Mickey.
I didn't even know he was there. I thought he made him away. He wasn't. I thought he was away collecting.
You know what he's like? He fucking heard personal development. He heard your question. And he just sniffed it out. He was like,
I thought he was away getting your ice cream. I thought he was on the ice cream run for you.
No. Fuck me, man. I need to stop eating. I'm up so much weight. I'm a fat
cunt. Big man was on the 3 a.m. scoops on the sly when I was sick. I came back and about half the gallon was gone.
Fat bastard. Is there anything you want to add, Mickey? You have enough to wrap?
No, I'm all good.
We'll call there.
We'll get Daniel in for an in person on the run up to Christmas when we do the big run of podcasts.
Chris, yeah, that'd be great to have you on there, Dorgan.
Oh, I love that.
We'll do it.
The Christmas jumpers again. I'll not wear one. Mine last year was at a pre-market. It was women's.
Was it?
Yeah, because it was the only one we got everybody in the family one, and you couldn't get, obviously, my ones are big cubs, so you couldn't get them in the men's sizes for everyone because they were so long. So then we ended up having to get the women's, and me and Dad's sleeves were so short. It was like it just didn't make sense. Join us for the in-person one. We're going to do that soon.
We could do it on iPod. We'll do it on iPod. I'll get it sorted.
Oh, that'd be fucking quality iPod. He's creaming his cacks already here.
We'll do it on iPod. Right.
Lost bread lined up.
Excellent. What is that? Lost bread? What's
lost
that?
Lost bread. It bangs.
What is that? iPod. What is this? Explain to me what it is.
It's one of their wee.
What is it? It's like, it's like eggy bread.
It's like egg white bread.
French toast.
It's like a French toast.
It's a similar eye.
Like a sugary French toast. Yeah,
French toast is right. On that bombshell, people, head up iPod for that because that sounds weird as fuck. Good night. God bless. If you don't rate and review, you're not getting no Christmas presents, and you'll not see the new year.
Good luck.
I'm making it come for you.
All right. See you later. Bye bye.